Communications disruption can mean only one thing. Invasion.
For the Republic!
Frequency 1138 is all clear and clanker free. This is Clone Army Radio.
Execute Order 66.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Good soldiers follow orders.
Begun. The Clone War has.
I found them. Repeat, I found them.
Cloners.
Now this is Podrace.
What is up, Clone Army? Welcome back to the best accidental Star Wars podcast this side of the galaxy. I'm saying it really fast because we're just simple clones in a hurry to make our way like our father before us.
Oh, dude. I was like running still when
I know I saw that. You were like Sir Lancelot.
I was like running. Didn't have to. You went.
I'm an embarrassment.
Why? No, you and I were like,
yeah, you guys were synced up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Leto was like, oh, wait, what? I've been cut?
How could you forget?
He's a rookie.
He's back. Ring rust.
Yeah. Leto's back to episode, what are you on? You're on episode 2.
Yep, so, my second episode this year.
Yeah. So, it actually is, isn't it?
Right. Aww. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations on your 2 second episode. No. Your 6 second abs. 7 second abs? What was it?
7 minute abs. Go back to sleep, John.
Yes. All right. I'm going to take a nap. Charlie and Leto are going to do the podcast.
Nice.
Right? You guys are ready. Seasoned veterans over here. You guys got this.
You got it.
Seasoned. But you guys are going to have to edit, though. Can you guys handle the editing?
Yes.
It's real easy. It's real easy because there is no such thing as editing during Mando season. So, I mean, it'll go through the audio profile. That's about as far as we're going. Little behind the scenes for everybody that doesn't listen. Yeah. Crickets? Leto, crickets?
Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets. Hey, everybody out there. What do you guys think about this? Let us know. Crickets? Crickets.
Anyways, so what was it called? The Minds of Mandalore? Was that this week?
It was called The Minds of Mandalore. However, before I feel like I have a very sad but also important announcement to make. It has been 9 years and one day since we lost Clone Trooper Fives, which means next year it will be the 10th anniversary of his deeply sad passing.
Oh, boy.
F in the chat for our fallen brother.
I'm all bummed out.
I'm not trying to bum you out, just because it's a very Clone Wars heavy episode and they tie up a lot of things. I thought it was important to mention.
Yeah. No, I got that. It's just, you know, Fives.
I'm sorry.
Why Fives? Why didn't someone just listen to you?
Right, you know, Fives. Yeah, right? Just like Andor said, nobody's listening to Fives.
You
know?
No.
All
that
the
was
answers.
The whole sentence.
Right. Yeah, they cut out the to fives part in that episode. That's right. But oh crap. Okay, so real quick too. I did hear a little buzz that I think next month. I don't know why it would be in April instead of May, but Return of the Jedi might be returning to theaters.
Yes, because it's the 40th.
Really?
It's 40th anniversary.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so really, I'm hoping that they'll do like a drive-in, like they did for Empire, because that was just such a great experience. So we shall see. God, I don't even know where to start. I'm playing with my little mouse droid, like this little guy here.
I just want to mention the start of the episode of The Mandalorian. It properly starts at Tatooine.
Of course.
Yes.
Every story should start. So I feel like we're at the beginning, which is good.
Oh, and you know, it properly made me roll my eyes, as it always does every time I see Pelimoto. As much as I love the character, for whatever reason, every time I see her, I'm just like, ah. But then she makes me laugh. Like, it's it's an ongoing thing since what the first time we saw her. Well, the first time Leto and I did a Mandalorian after show situation. But yeah, like Leto on the phone yesterday, I was like, oh yeah, this other show that I was listening to on Saturday night, mentioned a little spoiler.
Yeah. I was watching the whole episode. Like, what is he talking about?
It wasn't anything big, but I knew that it was going to Tatooine because the one person on that show blurted out something about Pelimoto. They had already seen the first two episodes of The Mandalorian, and they just totally like slipped up while they were talking. And I'm like, you dicks.
That's terrible. That's right? Very unprofessional.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. People make mistakes, but
it happens, but I'm still going to bitch about it.
Yeah. Now, if they had mentioned, oh, by the way, we are spoiler heavy here. So if they had mentioned the Mythosaur, I would have been emailing, tweeting, whatever it would take to start a fight with those people, because I would have been so pissed.
Dude, seeing the Mythosaur today.
I'm not letting you guys jump into the Mythosaur this soon into the episode. No.
Okay, but no, the Mythosaur.
No.
Okay, no, but for real. Go back and listen. Leto, I want to say it was probably when we were doing our Book of Boba Fett shows. I wonder if we're going to see a Mythosaur.
Right.
You did.
Boom.
Episode 77, timestamp.
As if I actually believed you for a second. That's embarrassing.
Wait, Leto, are you on Mandalore at the moment? Because you're getting some frequency.
For real?
Yeah, is frequency 1138 not all clear and clanker free over clanker there? Free? Or what?
I got nothing. I'm just much bit of glitch in the system.
Tap the screen a couple times. Usually, don't get your fingerprints on it though.
Yeah, are we good?
Yeah, it was just. It was just brief. So okay, well, Charlie, I know you said you had notes, but the one thing I did want to say is I'm glad that this trip to Tatooine wasn't like this whole side quest again type. I mean, I don't mind the side quest. I think the Mandalorian series is like playing a video game, and I'm a lifetime gamer, so I get it, but I know a lot of people complain about it, whatever. But I'm glad that they jumped right to it. He's going to Mandalore. He's going to get beep done. Yes.
I was right. I said last episode that this whole bathing in the waters of Mandalore is not going to be the entire series. That's not going to be his whole journey. It's going to be like a one and done two episodes.
This is great. Get it? Listen.
So exciting.
Because, that means there's something big coming, you know, some big tie-in or something.
We've now seen about, I know, Leto, you haven't watched the trailer, but for context, you've now seen about 90% of the trailer.
Oh.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, there's only like one thing
there's
I can
like
think
one
of.
There's like one scene that we haven't seen yet.
Mm. Okay. Well, I look forward to the 10% whenever it shows up.
And that scene will probably happen in episode 6.
It is Boonta Eve on Tatooine. Do you guys know the history of this like festival?
Boonta Eve is that from Phantom Menace?
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
Okay. I got that right.
No pots this time, though.
Boonta was one of the first, like, Hutts who became so great and so powerful, he was revered as a god by the people of Tatooine. So every Hutt family member afterwards made this festival Boonta Eve, which is why we have the Boonta Eve pod race that Jabba's running. So it's like just one of those little nice little festival things. I love it. It's cute.
What did they call
Boba Fett is clearly enjoying his retirement.
Boba Fett?
Yeah. Doing like Mardi Gras. Yeah, he's the Daimyo of Tatooine right now.
Oh, that's right.
Did he leave?
No, because I think we've seen like Tatooine's improving and getting better, and he had a really clear idea of how he wanted his leadership to look. So I like to think that he's still there and it's doing what Navarro was doing.
It makes sense.
Yeah, that one God, what is the Greedo guy? Rodian.
Yes.
Like, he kind of felt a little out of place there, though, because it's all, like, dirty and stuff, and he's got his, like, bright, shiny outfit that he stole from Carl Weathers. But, yeah, no, it definitely looked a lot cleaner, surprisingly, so that's cool.
In his little sports car, which Kelly is stripping the parts off, repainting, and selling back to him for a higher price, which is what the Jawas did to Obi-Wan in the Kenobi Obi-Wan. Series.
Right. Yeah, what does Obi-Wan say to him? Something like, if you're going to steal my parts, at least clean them.
If you're going to steal my parts and sell them back to me, at least clean them first.
Yeah.
Plus, maybe she knows that story and is using that whole tactic. Like, that's a good mm-hmm. idea.
Well, I mean, I she like did Jada would
pass.
Yeah, she dated a Jawa, so she probably got that inside info.
There you go.
The
way to take advantage of, you know, the holiday and, you know, price hikes and
right. I was going to say, it sounds like he's maybe been racing and his sports car, because that's what it is, like it's the Tatooine equivalent of a sports car, broke down, so he's gone to the nearest garage and she's gone, aha, gonna make some money. Droid appearances, we've got pit droids, the whole like umbrella droid who looks like Johnny Five in the background, there's a gong.
Oh yeah.
And there's a BD unit, and until it is confirmed otherwise, I'm saying that is BD-1, 100%.
Oh, he's back. Okay, because he was in the Book of Boba Fett, the BD guy. Mm-hmm. He's sitting on top of the car. I just started playing the episode on the other screen so I could take a look at something, but I saw the BD-1 while you were talking about him. It's got to be BD-1, right?
Yeah, he looks about the same color. He looks a bit like dusty and beat up. And.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice little Easter egg. Yeah.
Right.
And then R5, right?
Yes.
Why don't you buy this droid? Smack, and like sparks start flying. Yeah,
the Jedi droid.
That's the other thing, right there, is we're not going to sit around and wait for him to find a part for IG-11.
I appreciate that.
It kind of makes that segment of the last episode a little pointless, in my opinion. But you know, I guess he had to find a reason to go and see Pelimoto to. Mm-hmm. To get the R5 droid, but you know, what do they call that? Something about circumstance? I don't remember. Some writing, not trick, but trend. But whatever, you know, I'm glad that we're not waiting around. We're just going to Mandalore. He's just getting his things done.
The spirit of Putin, he's getting an oil bath, right? Before he gets breath.
The Clankas were interfering again. Say that again.
Oh, in the spirit of Punta Eve, R5 getting an oil bath. Is that right? Hello?
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to figure out why you sound like you're from outer space. Are you on the...
This is a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not funny.
Let me reset my mic, see if that helps.
Maybe you have two mics plugged in?
Yeah, R5 got his little oil bath for Boonta Eve, a little soak.
Oh, right. Yeah. Did he get the oil bath?
I hope he did.
I mean, she said it, so I would assume. They're not going to... I don't think they needed to show it or anything.
No.
But yeah, I kind of like the scaredy-catness of yeah. R5.
They gave him some real personality. Like, I really think they've... Whoever's in charge of like the puppeteering of the droids, especially, a lot of time and energy's gone into making them, like with the clones, like the effort Dee Bradley Baker puts in with these voices, it's making those kind of individual personalities out of each of them. And I love that. I love that so much.
Mm-hmm.
Droid rights.
I also think that a lot of this, you know, comes from John Favreau. Mm-hmm. Like his love for a lot of like the obscure type of stuff. And
yes.
You good, Lita?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. I just noticed my furnace is right there. Maybe I might be causing some sound issues. Maybe. I don't know. Might have kicked on. Interesting. All right. Sorry about that.
Could just be some interference.
Yeah.
Like I said, maybe you don't realize you're on Mandalore. It's all good. We got boots on the ground.
Is Boonta Eve, right? Like, what's the day before Boonta Eve called?
I don't know. What's the day before Christmas Eve called?
Boonta Eve.
It's got to be, right? Boonta Eve Eve.
That's fun to say. Keep that one.
Boonta Eve Eve.
This episode was directed by the cinematographer for Black Panther and Fruitvale Station, which are both Ryan Coogler films. Rachel Morrison. She did amazingly.
Dude, yes. This was shot very well. Yeah. This is great. This episode looks great. It feels big. Like,
yes.
You know, compositions were great. I didn't have a problem at all, like, with anything production-wise in this episode. I just want to wrap, you know, because I was kind of like nitpicking the episode one. But for this one, you know, knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
We're back.
Visually beautiful. Yeah. It really, really was.
Exactly. Visually beautiful. Good way to put it.
See, I think the first episode was just like everybody, I think, was just kind of not everybody. A lot of people were put down because it was kind of like a recap episode.
Mm-hmm.
So then it became, you know, not saying you particularly, but a lot of people were nitpicking so much about that episode without actually looking at what the story was all about. Like, the story was being pushed forward and everything. And I mean, I personally didn't have any issues with the episode other than it was recappy, but I could see through it, and I'm better than everybody. So I know that it was a good episode and everyone else is wrong.
And I am right. And I will hear no argument.
Right.
Did you guys appreciate Grogu's little Jedi flip to impress his Auntie Pelly?
Right. He's getting better at that.
I think he might say his first words this season. I feel like a parent. I feel like such a parent.
Nice. He was doing a lot more of like the baby talk stuff.
Yeah, he said Papu. And I cried a little bit, and I wonder if that's a word he picked up from the Anzellians, because that's something they say quite a bit in their weird little back and forth dialogues.
The Anzellians were a trip. What do you want?
Bad baby.
But I mean, they're full on like saying, "Hey, that's your kid. You're the dad." Referring.
Oh yeah, parental language being thrown around. Exactly. Everyone's just sort of accepted that that is your child. You are a dad.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sweet.
Very sweet.
So what were, I don't know, what was like a big highlight aside from the Mythosaur? Like, Charlie, you go first and then Lita. Like, what were your like big high point of the episode?
I will admit, this one's a bit silly, but I really enjoyed it. When Din and Grogu get through the mine tunnel and they come into that big open space where obviously all of the buildings have been sunk down and it's the wreck of Mandalore, and he just drops off the edge and fires up his jetpack. That was spectacular. That was very, very satisfying to watch.
That was really cool. I love how like...
And Grogu just whoop.
Yep, right after him in his little pod. Whoop. That was awesome.
They need each other, but they're also independent. Like, Grogu's big enough to be independent now, and that makes me really happy to see.
He's a big boy now.
He is big boy.
Lito?
Oh, this is easy.
Yeah.
Bo-Katan kicking ass with the Darksaber, dude.
Yes!
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
The you first time mean? We've ever seen her use it.
Yeah.
Like, she's wielded it, but she's never fought with it.
Yeah, yeah, as far as I know. So...
She knows how to use it. Like, I don't know. I was thinking, wow, because Din has trouble with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's got no problems with it. She saw it. She knew what it was. She's like, oh yeah, hell yeah. She's like reunited. Like, it feel like it's the right fit. It's right for her character. She's getting another. I don't know. I don't know how she's gonna properly get the Darksaber, but she definitely deserves to be with it and belongs, and she was on the right path and now she got derailed, and it's going to be interesting to see her how she's going to get back to it, because I think she's the rightful ruler. It's her sword, it's her Excalibur, if you will. Sorry, Charlie. I don't have no other sword references, but like I don't know. I mean, it just felt right. It looked right, felt right. She knows, you know, like I'm like, this is awesome. This is how who should have that sword. But I don't know how she's going to get it.
I have like a little theory about this. If you guys cast your minds back to Book of Boba Fett, when the armorer talks about why Din can't use the Darksaber, because it's not just the saber, it's you, the person as well, because the power of the saber flows through you and it's kind of moved by you and with you. Bo-Katan, she is focused and single-minded on, I will survive. I will survive and I will rule Mandalore. That is her only goal. Whereas Din is conflicted with, who am I? Where is my place in this world? I've got a child to look after. There's the Darksaber. He still, after all this time, still isn't focused. And we're shown that because he fights with the Darksaber, but not well.
And is he a real Mandalorian?
Yeah, this is the other thing.
Oh, I think he is. I mean, he was raised by them, and that's kind of their thing. I mean, he wasn't born there, but...
Yeah, but should a foundling be ruler? You know what I mean?
Should a scavenger be a Jedi? Should a farm boy be a Jedi? I mean, that's kind of
But when
not trying to be a dick or anything, I'm just saying that, like,
when there's a proper, like, you know, someone from the ruling house still alive, you know, it's going to cause a civil war. I mean, there's no way around it.
but at the same time, too, Tar Vizsla, the Jedi Mandalorian, wasn't a Kreese. He was a Vizsla. So, I mean, there's other people that are rightful to that saber and all of that. You know, Paz Vizsla in the Book of Boba Fett thought that he should have it. So I don't think it's really based on who, like, what clan, what family should have it or not. You know, it could be anybody as long as they, you know, they take the creed and they, you know, they rule, they have the saber and they do it. They're a leader. I don't think it matters.
Bo-Katan showed some real leadership skills this episode. I would like to point this out. Like, she fully believes that Din's like request of help and please help me do this. I is ridiculous, but she helps him anyway. She comes and rescues him regardless, because despite their differences between one another, he is one of her people. He is a Mandalorian. Through creed, through adoption, through however you look at it, he is a Mandalorian. And she knows from the history of the Mandalorians that infighting is what causes weakness in them, and now they need to be strong. So she will help him regardless.
Good point.
That's leadership. That's queen behavior. And she also gives him back the Darksaber without hesitation, because technically he does lose it in combat because he drops it when he's captured.
Oh.
So she could have just had it. It was there. It was hers for the taking on a technicality.
Yeah.
And she said, no, it's yours.
That's like, there's, you know, other Jedi, like Obi-Wan beat up Vizsla, so should he have it? You know, it's all those kind of silly technicalities.
Darth Maul, so is it?
Right. I wanted to bring up the, there was a shot where it shows, I think, yeah, it's when Bo-Katan and Grogu are flying in, and you see, like the structures of what the heck is the capital? Is it Sundari? Is that where they are?
Yes.
Yeah, I think. And you see like a spot where Ahsoka and Darth Maul fought each other in the Clone Wars. And even Bo-Katan kind of hesitates and looks at that. And like you were saying, Charlie, there's so many things that like tie to the Clone Wars. That was like one of my bigger spots that I saw. I was like, oh, that's right where, you know, she captured Darth Maul and he's yelling, you're all going to die and all this stuff. And it was kind of cool to go back, even though it's all destroyed now and all that, but it's kind of cool to go back and check this place out. The one thing I wanted to mention about Bo-Katan, and I'm going to forget now because my brain doesn't work, but Lita, what did you say? You said something that sparked that. It was like, crap. Yeah, I don't know. I forget.
The ruling?
How she's part of the ruling? Something about her ruling. No. That's right. You guys are both saying how well she fought with the Darksaber and she has her focus and all of that. One of the things that Din doesn't really know is like the real, like he kind of gets that the Darksaber is important. But what's more important to him right now, like Leto, I think you were saying, is being redeemed. You know, that's all that he's, that's like his goal right now is that. Whereas Bo-Katan's like, I need my Darksaber to rule my people. And she understands the history of the Darksaber and he doesn't. So yeah, she's, I mean, she was a total pro with that thing.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and he's still struggling with it.
She has a reverence for it that Din Djarin doesn't have because he also doesn't have the context.
Right. Do you think he could like, I'm sorry, just real quick. Do you think he could like, do you think he could learn a lot of that from her? Do you think, I don't get her being a villain at all. Like I kind of was getting that vibe
right now.
Yeah. And I think that like, I don't know. I mean, it could just be me being silly, but there should be a romantic situation between those two. But
oh yeah,
don't because it's the scruffy outlaw bounty hunter and the royal princess. It's Han and Leia. It's the classic Star Wars like love story.
They already have a baby too. Like there's already, so there's a family there.
Right. Yeah. It's so like it's so right there.
Your dad was the only Mandalorian.
That was good stuff. So, but yeah, I don't know. She just seemed like you know, let's get rid of him once and for all. She says as she goes out to the ship, and then the second Grogu pops his head up. Right, but like Grogu pops his head up, and then she's like instantly like, "What happened to him?" And like you were saying, Charlie, like he's one of her people. She's got to go and. Take care of him and all of that, and she just, I don't know, like her whole attitude, maybe this is what she needed, was to get off her ass and out of that throne,
off of her depression throne, which I would like to point out she's now upgraded with a blanket.
Did you catch that? I was like,
either it's cold, she just needs to be cozy, like I get those days, I really do, Queen, it's okay.
You can tell she does not get out of that throne very often.
She seems like, and then on the flight in, she seemed kind of happy. Like her face.
I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if like that was like her normal state, but she was smiling. It seemed like, you know, flying in.
Her face when she broke through the clouds was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Especially it's the whole thing of, well, she thinks it's not poisonous, but it might be poisonous, but she's not brave enough to go because there's so much attached to it. I would also like to point out the walkway that her and Din walk through when they discuss and she guides him to the entrance to the living waters. That's the same walkway where Obi-Wan and Satine walked together.
Oh, I was about to say.
Is it really?
Part of that building. It's, yeah.
It looked familiar.
Yeah, when Bo says, like, my family ruled here, my family were here.
That's who I was thinking was Satine the whole time, you know.
Mm-hmm. How painful for Bo to be back there. Like, that's where her sister was murdered.
Right.
Brutally.
That shocked me in the Clone Wars, you know. I think we talked about those episodes, right, John?
Yeah, we did.
These are not for kids.
No. Nope. Those are some really damn good episodes, though.
For real.
But yeah, I know it was kind of weird that she looked like she was kind of smiling going into it because, I mean, look at all the destruction, but I think maybe it was just more of a, you know, I'm home kind of a, yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't know. She's back on her path, back on her journey. I don't know, doing something, you know, I think just instead of sitting on her, you know, behind on the throne or wherever she sat, you know, cuddling up. Watching Netflix, like she's, you know, she's being productive, and that's, you know, anyone who's got a, you know, a job to do or something, you know, kind of, I know I do get perked up, and you know, life's a little bit more bearable because I got something to, you know,
something that drives you,
yeah. So it's kind of cool.
Sorry, Lita.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I didn't want to cut you off. I got overexcited. I was thinking about something.
I like the character of Bo-Katan because she goes through peaks and valleys. It's not like an easy road for her. So I'm rooting for her to, like, you know, to find her place and finally get to where she's getting to. And whenever I see her, you know, taking a step forward, I'm pretty happy guy because it's cool. Like, it's not like a straight, you know, like Luke Skywalker, nothing really, like everything for her doesn't, it, you know, she moves a couple steps forward and then it, you know, moves back. Like it's, you know, what's like kind of like real life, you know, it's not like a, you know, she has failures and successes. So it's like, relatable, I guess.
Very relatable.
So, I'm interested in her story, because it's not the traditional. I don't know how it's going to end up. I don't know how it's going to end up. So it's going to be fun to watch.
My girlfriend thinks that Bo-Katan and Kylo Ren would be best friends and that they would be moody on their thrones together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They would be texting each other energy.
Back and forth.
Mm-hmm. At opposite ends. Yeah.
I agree.
Can we please talk about this horrible General Grievous-looking...
Yes.
He even made Grievous noises.
He did. He sounded like Grievous, and it was very unsettling. Like, the only other time we've seen that weird combination of, like, super mechanical with biological material in it, that was a human eye.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. For real?
Yeah.
It looked like it.
Its little lens was like a normal person's eye.
Made me think of Krang from the Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Yeah.
I wondered... Is it like a Mandalorian that survived somehow down there and was forced to become this horrible... It looks like separatist tech as well. It looks very, very similar to the kind of shapes and styles of Grievous and the kind of monsters and armor from that era.
My thoughts went... When I saw like the crab-style thing, my first thought was, oh, God, is this like part of Darth Maul's old legs? You know,
yes.
He had the spider legs attached to him and... but yeah, this could be very well something similar to the Darth Maul situation, Charlie, that I didn't really put together. Could that be, you know, a Mandalorian or one of those, what do they call them? Not acolytes.
The brain?
Alakai, something, you know, could it be one of those guys? Like
the brain monks in the jar.
The brain monks.
No. The guys that, the Din got ambushed by and then Bo-Katan beat up a few of them.
Oh, the ones with they look a bit like the Mythosaur, with the green eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, she said the name of them. It's something Alice something tight. I can't remember. I didn't write it down. But maybe it was one of those people, because they look like they're probably native to Mandalore.
Yeah.
Maybe they sort of like fused into like this robot situation. I don't know.
The thing that made me think it might be a Mandalorian is that, so it was obviously scuffling around in the background and Bo rushes forward and speaks to Din, who's fading in and out of consciousness. And when she says, it's me, it's Bo-Katan, we cut to this creature and its eye goes, it acts as if it recognizes that name, as if he knows who that is. And suddenly it's on the attack again.
Huh. Maybe it's
an interesting set of camera choices. It was very deliberate, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. It just popped up on my screen too. It definitely looks like a human eye.
Mm.
And like the head looks like, it's kind of funny. The head kind of looks like Legion from Mass Effect 2. I don't know if either of you ever played those games, but the Geth were the droids in that game series.
Nice.
Yes, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's dead now, so it's probably nothing super important, but it
is it
definitely
really
cool.
You know, it had like three lives in here.
And I was going to say, we like a multiple death. It just kept attaching itself.
Nice, that's true.
I'm guessing the theme of desperate to survive applies in an environment like that, when it is just you scavenging on what you can find, which is barely anything.
Was that sucking the blood out of Din?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh. Whoa, maybe it needs human blood. Well, but if it needed human blood to survive, it would have been dead by now.
Well, there's a lot of Mandalorian
humans there. Nutrients, quote unquote. Yeah. Whatever form that comes in, whatever creatures it can find.
Juice!
Yes.
From Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Juice! there was a lot of Mandalorian helmets on the ground or whatnot, so maybe it's been feasting on the bodies of dead Mandalorians, you know?
Speaking of that Mandalorian helmet that he picks up out of the dust,
yes.
Let us cast our minds. I wrote this down. Where's my little note? There is only one super weapon that can burn Beskar like that. The thing that Sabine Wren created and supposedly destroyed the plans for and the parts for, but I would like to think that maybe in part of the destruction of Mandalore, the Empire got hold of that and developed this weapon.
Yeah.
Because it was blistered and burnt and bleached.
You know, it's kind of funny you mention that, because if you can't destroy Beskar, how the hell is the armor making armor out of it?
Yeah, cutting it with that torch.
It's like melting it, and plot hole.
Don't look at it too hard. It will fall apart.
I know. The last thing I want to do is ruin this for myself. But no. But yeah, I mean, that you got to think that Sabine probably didn't get rid of everything. Somebody else saw it, you know, the notes or the files, however they had it, you know, the plans for the weapon. So maybe they didn't make it as powerful, kind of like the cloning system, you know, they made Snoke instead of another Palpatine type of situation cloning. So it's not, maybe this wasn't like their perfect version of it, but yeah, you're right. It did have a lot of damage on that helmet. So, what did you guys think of Grogu freaking Dukes of Hazzarding his way out of there in his little pod?
Yes.
That looked like a ride at Disney World.
I'm sure it will be, yeah.
Grogu's escape from the mines of Mordor. Or not Mordor.
Mordor.
Mandalore.
He's trying mines so hard to save his dad. He's trying so hard. And Din's like, find Bo-Katan.
Right.
He did so much running this episode. He's so fast now.
Yeah, he was moving around really. That's got to be puppeteering, I'm assuming, right? Yes. Or is that some CGI?
I think it's puppet. I think it's both.
Yeah. His movements looked more natural, I think.
Yes.
Whereas, like, last season, you know, his walks were kind of like a waddle because they got to move the legs a certain way. He still does that here, but yeah, the running and everything looked a lot more fluent.
Waddle, is that a Star Wars figure?
Yeah.
A character?
No, Watto.
Watto, okay, got it.
He's a Tidarian. Speaking of that, they mentioned chance cubes in this.
They did mention chance cubes, which is a nice little nod to the Phantom Menace.
Yeah. I immediately thought of Watto when Pelimoto said, what did she say? There's no chance, or I don't remember how she said it, but she was like basically saying there's no chance, but she threw the cube word right after it. I'm like, what the heck?
Oh, yeah. And it flicks it in the force and it makes it right. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I particularly enjoyed after Din's rescue, and he comes back round and he's sort of all rested up on the top, and Bo's there making some pog soup.
Yeah, pog soup.
And she makes him, I think Din realizes very quickly that as much as he wears the armor of a Mandalorian, he is not a Mandalorian. She fully teases him, like, you've never had pog soup. I was raised on it. My ancestors were raised on it. But I saw someone on Reddit say that she's describing all of these things about Mandalore to Grogu and Din like a disgruntled resident of Florida who lives like next to Disneyland.
Nice.
That's same kind of, oh, do I really have to? Do you really not know?
And it's funny because he was brought up or raised or whatever on Concordia, which is like right next to Mandalore. So how did he not have, you know, some of these traditional things like the pog soup? So I don't know. That just shows how different, like, you know, the children of the Watch are compared to other Mandalorians.
Din, like, scrunched his head up to, like, lift the helmet, the tiniest bit.
I know, right?
Silly.
Dude, just take the helmet off already. It's time, I think. It's like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the whole helmet thing, but I understand that it's telling a story, so he just needs to take it off. But speaking, I like I like how she says, like, that she, what did she say? It's almost adorable how he, like, believes all these stories, you know, these children's stories. I really think she's going to probably try to teach him, like, the way of the Mandalorians. And especially, you know, what she sees at the end, I think that's going to really open things up.
Maybe she'll teach him I'm sorry.
No. I think maybe a few times this episode we saw her being swayed, definitely, like when they're walking through and she talks about her father dying in battle and Din stops and bows his head and says, "This is the way," sobbing.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. I love her comment to Grogu after that too, like, because it kind of took her back. Yeah, and she's like, "What are you looking at?"
Mad respect, yeah.
And she's having a joke, and she's reading the little museum tablet on the wall, talking about, "Oh, these are the mines. This is why they're here." Mm-hmm. And she asks, "Din, are you okay?" And he's already just in it. He's stripping off. He's going in. He's reciting his vows, and you see just a moment of her realizing how powerful this is, how like cleansing and
right.
I think she suddenly sees what she hasn't been able to see before, which is the reverence of these kind of respects and traditions.
Right.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. That was my note that I wrote down for this episode, was about that she's maybe becoming not necessarily a believer of the Children of the Watch ways, but more of a like a reborn Mandalorian. Yes. Right. Seeing it through
him. There were some big Christian vibes in this. Like, we've had like Moses leading the Jews out of Israel. We've had, oh my goodness, there's been all sorts. The mm-hmm. Living Waters is taken directly from John chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never be thirsty again."
That's right.
And this two-episode chunk started with a baptism and ended with a baptism. So we're all about cleansing of sin.
The original sin, cleansing.
The original sin of being simply born.
Born, yeah. And you know what's funny that you mentioned that too, is both of these baptisms were interrupted at the end.
Yes.
What does that mean?
By a giant water monster, some foreshadowing. That's what the first episode must have been, some foreshadowing.
Right. But is there any more meaning to that? Because not the little kid didn't finish his, and Din didn't finish this one. There's got to be something there that I'm not seeing.
Wait! I have a whole theory about this, and it's linked to the Mythosaur. So now we can talk about the Mythosaur.
Oh, now we can.
Chronologically, we skipped enough through the episode. It's fine.
Interesting that something was living in the living waters.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
I didn't realize that the Living Waters was a literal like name.
yeah,
right.
Maybe is that what she was referencing when she's like, "Goodbye, Din"? Because did she know about that Mythosaur being in there? No.
No, you could tell by her reaction. Like, I feel like she just like said, "Holy bleep!"
Yeah, she saw it said on thing. The subtitles in the water. She gasps. That's what all the air bubbles are. She
goes, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she definitely had no idea.
How many times has she saved Din in this episode? Like five?
I think it was like
that's two, how but two characters fall in love, Leto.
Right.
That's how it happens.
And she saved him in season two when she first appeared.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. She is
out of water. There's something with that. Oh, holy shit. There's something out of there. Because if she's pulling him out of water, is she like going to cleanse his thoughts of the Children of the Watch
and hence be able to take his helmet off all the time?
Is he going
to
become like deprogrammed, like de-radicalized? Is that
what I'm thinking?
Well, he's gonna have to, I mean, because they don't really, it seemed like the Children of the Watch don't really care about the dark saber, do they?
Mm-mm. Who doesn't
the Children of the Watch?
Oh, I don't know, I mean, the armorer seemed to care about it. Paz Vizsla. I mean, those are really the only Children of the Watch that we hear speak, but they seem to think highly of it.
But they're not like, "Oh, there's our leader. He's got the sword." Whereas the other group would probably like, you know, you know, get on their knee, their bending knee, and you know, and respect the sword. Like all of, you know, Bo's people that are out there.
That's possible.
I think that's one of the things she's missing. Like they won't unite underneath her because she doesn't have the Darksaber.
Right.
But I also appreciate this episode was a fantastic opportunity to leave Din Djarin to die, take the Darksaber and rule. But she wants to win it in true combat because that's what's honorable.
You think they're just going to have the good old fashioned, just like, you know,
contest. And then his helmet's going to fall off, and they're going to fall on top of each other, and they're going to kiss, and it's going to be really romantic, and then Grogu's going to interrupt. I can see it now.
Wow. It's going to be like Yennefer and Geralt in The
yes.
Witcher. The
yes.
house is going to be falling apart while they're going. Yeah.
I just hope it doesn't end up like the Game of Thrones. Someone's head being...
Speaking of Game of Thrones, IGN are on a wild one this week. They have rated this episode 5 out of 10 for its Game of Thrones lighting.
Oh, because a little dark?
Yeah, apparently so. Five just turn the TV brightness up, my friend.
Yeah, I honestly thought it was perfect.
They're in a mine.
I think it's in a dark cave. I'm good. I'm fine.
Thank you. Thank
Slight
you.
Slight colors.
Thank you.
There's a sweet spot too when the eyeball guy comes out of his first, you know, machine spider. It kind of looks like the Empire Strikes Back, you know, when they're gonna put someone in carbonite there, and that whole, it's like the same color schemes, you know.
Yes.
So
we love an orange glow in Star Wars. Very popular.
Right, give us something we're familiar with and we're in, you know?
Yes. I think that's important when you're showing something so new. Like, I know obviously we've seen Grievous, but Grievous, like, spoke in full sentences and was a bit more of a human, mm-hmm. whereas this literally was just a screechy, crawly, horrible thing that I think is going to give me nightmares.
All you had to do was start heaving, and you're like, oh, that's
going to be my sleep paralysis demon. That's what it's going to be.
Nice. Yeah, you know, I think IGN only gives good reviews when they're paid, so.
Oh.
Yeah, they used to always, like, ooh. Every time a new Call of Duty game would come out, 10 out of 10, every time. Like, it's like, okay. I mean, okay. They're not all that good. But yeah, no, me and a couple of my friends would always talk about how IGN's, like, they give the good reviews when there's some stuff floating into their pockets, so. Whatever. If anybody that works for IGN is listening to me, oh well, sorry. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, sucks to suck.
So, you know, I did have a thought too on the Children of the Watch, like, not taking the Darksaber seriously. Maybe because Din is at this point to them a traitor, that they don't recognize him even with the Darksaber.
That's interesting.
Well, he's an apostate, you know. Yeah. I mean, you can call them traitors, right? So I think maybe that could fall into it. Or maybe those people there, other than Paz and the armorer, maybe the rest of those people don't know that he has the Darksaber. He didn't really flaunt it around when he showed up to talk
That's
to her.
That's true. He didn't say, gaze upon my greatness, right? My sword. I am your chosen leader. Like, he didn't really do that.
Bo-Katan would have shown up, like,
oh my gosh,
you know, with drum beats and everything. So.
It is a bit like Game of Thrones season 7, Jon Snow, I don't want to be king, Daenerys, but I want to be queen.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Which I don't mind at all. I don't mind a bit of, like, fighting for the throne.
I would prefer that these two don't fight, though.
Yeah, I would like them to be on the same side, please.
Somehow. One of them's going to die, though. I mean...
Does one of them have to... They just got to, like, the sword just has to, like, be lost in the fight, right? For someone to gain it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to win it in combat. You have to defeat the person who holds it.
But you don't have to kill them. Obviously, we know.
Paz Vizsla seems to think you have to.
Oh, no.
And, like, from some of the older stories, I feel like that was a thing. So,
but he didn't kill Moff Gideon. Din didn't.
No. But Din's different. He doesn't.
Din's so like Batman. He doesn't kill.
Well, then, in a technicality, does it still belong to Moff Gideon? And if, like, Din gives it back to Moff in jail, and then, like, okay, fight Bo.
Lisa, no? I promise you, if you keep following this train of thought, you are going to tie yourself up in knots. No one knows who the Darksaber belongs to. It is a mystery.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much, yeah. I mean, maybe it's Ahsoka's. She defeated Maul.
I mean, yeah, she defeated Maul. That's a fair point.
So...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, yeah. How hyped were you guys to see the Mythosaur? Like, did you think we'd be seeing it IRL? Like, did you even think it still existed at this point in the Star Wars timeline?
The second he went underwater, I was like, oh, crap. Is he? I thought, okay, is he going to come up riding the Mythosaur is what my thought was. like the songs that they, you know, talk about, you know, someone riding a man. Or no, Queel said that your ancestors used to ride the Mythosaur.
Yeah, the first Mandalore. Tamed and rode the Mythosaur. I have a theory about this, though. So, you know, Din was like, I will prove to you that I have bathed in the living waters. I partly wonder if, like, so you know how Grogu can talk to animals? Like, he tamed the Rancor and he can communicate with creatures the way Cal can. I wonder if, like, Grogu's going to, like, tame the Mythosaur and then, like, Mando's going to take it back with him to the armor and be like, here's your proof. I drowned in the living waters for this.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely something to that. I had like two thoughts. One, that's going to like, one, it's going to unite Bo-Katan and Din for sure. This, you know, the proof that there is a Mythosaur, but it could potentially unite the armorer with Bo-Katan, which would really bring all of the Mandalorians together. The other thought is, and I did a Twitter poll like a year or so ago asking if Grogu is the Mandalorian, and that one got all yeses. I think there was like maybe one or two no's. So,
of course.
So, and because he is trained in the Jedi ways, he's being trained in the Mandalorian ways. He can use the Force. I mean, in all honesty, I think it would be kind of lame if Grogu ends up being, like, the ruler of Mandalore just because...
Oh, no, I don't want to see him be the ruler.
Yeah. But there's something to all that, I think.
Mm. They're definitely sowing the seeds for a much bigger plotline here.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fantastic way to end the episode. Like, especially the whole, like, we've not even been allowed to see the whole Mythosaur. We've seen an eye and a horn.
Right.
Part and that's enough to scare the pants off me.
Right. That was huge. I was like, wow, I didn't know it was going to be that big. I mean, wow.
I watched the scene back and I realized that she's not drifting down past rock. She's drifting down past Mythosaur.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I have it playing in the background and you're like basically narrating that part right now. It's so bizarre. Like,
so those things just live in water, or can it come out and live in air and whatnot? Like, is it just a water creature?
I wonder if it's been pushed into water and being underground after what happened to the surface of Mandalore. If there was a point in Mandalorian history where they had a bond with the Mythosaurs, then I wonder what happened to force it so deep underground and become so aggressive.
Probably the destruction of the planet is my guess. I'm going to assume that it's like, you know, my brain is not working. Yeah, I would assume that it can come out of water, but it's
like a salamander.
Just, yeah. Oh,
that's the only creature I could think of that does both.
Does it fly like a dragon? I'm thinking, is it like a dragon then?
I don't know if we've ever actually seen like, you know, a canon drawing or anything of them yet. So
the first time the Mythosaur was ever mentioned was in a comic from 1982, which is number 69 out of the number one of the series that I have. So like one of the first ever runs of Star Wars comics.
69, and, dude.
now, everybody. Now. And it's a Han and Leia story, and they go and like work with the Mandalorians, and the Mandalorians talk about there's a Mythosaur skeleton. That's all we see is a skeleton of it in this comic.
Huh.
Not even the real thing.
Was it really big? Yeah, okay. I mean, obviously, huge. I guess this was really big too, but
also you will hear some people argue that the creature that Boba Fett is riding in the Star Wars Holiday Special comic, like animated section, is a Mythosaur. It is not.
No, doesn't that look more like a brontosaurus or something, if my memory serves me? Okay.
Also, Leto, I don't know if you've been watching Bad Batch, but a Zillow beast last week and now, like a mythosaur this week. What is going on?
Oh, yeah, they're just knocking these things right out. That there's a board they have
out there.
Yeah.
With all the names of all like these, you know, legendary creatures that we've never seen. And I'm like, yes. I'm just going to go ahead and check that one. Check that one. Yep.
Right.
Anything else kind of vague, you know, mentioned somewhere? We're going to, you know, check that one.
Like Monster of the Week has been happening a lot. Yeah.
I do like a good Monster of the Week. I won't lie.
Mentioning the Bad Batch, Leto, I know you haven't watched it, so I won't say anything. But damn, that was a great episode, too.
Oh, wow.
Charlie, did you watch it yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. So then I'll definitely
watch it
in
a bit when I get back downstairs.
Okay. Yeah, that was. They've really stepped up the last few weeks.
I've
in that
heard.
Show.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of really positive responses.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where this goes next, though. I mean, which is fun.
They're not going.
Yeah, this is the thing. Even us trailer watchers, Leto, we know nothing.
Well, I mean, they're not going to fight and kill this thing, right? I mean.
No, they're not going to kill it.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of like, hey, what are you doing here? Like in this episode here, what are you doing here? Time to fight, time to die, time to kill you. Like, okay, what if those guys were like at the welcome party and it's just like those, what were those things called?
Oh, the stalactites.
No, those creatures that he killed that, you know,
The ones with the tusks and the bright green eyes that fell out the ceiling.
Yeah, that's
what I was saying. I don't remember the name. I just know the end of it was tight.
Tight, yeah. Anyways, seemed like, oh, hey, you're a stranger. Time to kill you. It's like, wow. Like, you know, can't they just talk it out? Like, I'm just here that they could go take a dip in
the
pool.
You really think something with three sets of eyes, no mouth, and tusks can talk?
Yeah, I don't know. Spoiler alert, I don't know if you guys have been watching the other show he's on, but there was an instant like this where like they're strangers, they come into like a strange area. These people come with other, you know, they're scavenging, and like there's one of them ends up dead of the other people, and it ends up turning into this whole thing. And it's just like, wow, it's like the same thing's happening here. Like they just
Wasn't like this latest episode of The Last of Us basically a mirror of this episode of The Mandalorian. Dad storylines unite.
Yeah. It's weird.
There it is. They're called Alamites.
Alamites. They first appeared in what episode of Rebels? Because I haven't finished watching. So what?
No, I think it's the first time we've ever seen these guys.
What?
Yeah.
What? We're breaking a new like creature.
Oh, they're going left, right, and center with all of these new creatures. I've seen some people whinging about how, like, oh, it's I'm tired of R4. I'm tired of all of these cameos that we're used to seeing. And no, if you're having new stuff, you have to have a balance of old stuff so everybody feels like they're still in the same place. Familiar is important. And it wouldn't be Star Wars without Easter eggs where everyone's going.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know who that is.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, for me, the sequel trilogy had like no familiar aliens up until what, The Rise of Skywalker, we saw Ackbar's son or something like that.
Yeah.
But we didn't really see any of that. Oh, really? Yeah, he calls him Junior. I'm assuming it's, you know, Ackbar's kid at least. But but you know, that's the one thing, and I don't really like to go on these little tangents about other people and their thoughts, but like, why? No. But why are people always so mad when you see something familiar in Star Wars? Do you like Star Wars? Like, I don't get it. Oh my God, it's R2-D2 again?
Like, there it is.
What?
There it is.
I think people just complain to complain. I don't know. They want to get their likes and all that and their views, and I don't know. But no, I thought this was cool that there's a new creature, like the Alamites, and then there was the General Grievous looking thing. And then, yeah, you have R5. And so they're throwing a mixture of stuff. You got the Jawas showing up and a Rodian. When was the last time we saw a Rodian in live? Well, no, I think we saw one in the other show. But yeah, so I think, I don't know. I just, like I said last week, this is the bread and butter. This is like classic Star Wars.
It is classic. I would also like to point out today is International Women's Day. So shout out to all of the amazing and incredible women in our lives who I love to absolute pieces. What an amazing episode to have for today. Strong, absolutely, powerful female characters coming in and saving the day. We love to see it.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice one, Star Wars. Big win.
I didn't even realize that. So you said that, yeah, it was mostly a strong female character.
Saving the day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Message.
Nice.
And also, shout out to all the incredibly amazing strong women in Star Wars and the history of Star Wars, specifically you, Carrie Fisher. I miss you. I love you.
Right? Oh. Everyone's trying to fill those shoes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find the next Princess Leia to capture our hearts and in our minds and our, you know? And
I'd say Bo-Katan's a pretty good candidate for a princess. She is a princess, right? So
she is a princess and she's very pretty.
Very.
Sure.
I think that Katie Sackhoff is really pulling off the Bo-Katan look this season. Like, she looked great last season, but there's just something more Bo-Katan about. Like, I think it might be the headpiece or something looks smaller than it did. Like, it was real clunky in season two. I don't know. She looks great. And I mean, Katie Sackhoff kills it acting. I mean,
dude, I've how been a awesome fan. Is it? She gets to do the cartoon and the live action.
Yes, I mean,
right. It's so freaking cool. Yeah,
she's comfortable in that costume now. Like, she's settled with the character being in. Because it's one thing to animate, like voice act for the character, and to spend years doing that, but then to take that character into live action must have been like a real transition. And I think it's taken some time for her to be fully comfortable. She totally makes that Mandalorian armor look good.
For real?
Yeah.
It still blows me away that, you know, Leto coming from Battlestar Galactica, you know, with her as Starbuck, and then I'm watching the Clone Wars, and I'm like, I don't even know how long it took me to realize that that was Katie Sackhoff voicing Bo-Katan. I think it's probably only just been a few years that it finally registered.
Wow.
That I was like, oh my God, that's freaking Katie Sackhoff. But she's in, you know, she was in Battlestar Galactica. She's in Star Wars. There was a show called Longmire that was really good on Netflix that she was in. And I'm like, she's just good in everything I've seen her in. Definitely one of my favorite actors.
For real. She can play it. Like, and it's not like woman, man, it doesn't matter. Like, she's just awesome in whatever you know she's in, whatever character she's playing. It's not because she's a woman that makes her awesome. It's like she is just, you know, it's got nothing to do with it. It's
she just kills it.
she does. So I hope, like I said, I hope that we see more. I mean, I hope it's the Din and Katie show for the rest of the season.
Yes. Yeah.
So
that would be great.
Yeah.
And then Thrawn comes in at the end and kills them both.
Oh. Yep. Because they don't show up in the sequel trilogy.
Spoilers,
Johnny.
Spoilers.
And really, Grogu is Snoke. So.
Grogu is Snoke, yes.
Yeah, those are my shit takes. But I think Thrawn will show up at least. I don't think they're going to wait until the Ahsoka series to bust out Grand Admiral Thrawn.
But who do you want to play him?
His voice actor in the books, Mark Thompson. He looks nothing like Thrawn, but he does the voice so well. No, I would have to say the guy that's rumored to be him, Galen Erso's brother.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I was going to say Mads Mikkelsen's brother, the other Mikkelsen brother.
Lars. It's Lars, right?
Lars.
Yeah, who was the voice actor in Rebels for Thrawn. So.
The drummer for Metallica, yes.
Yes. Lars Mikkelsen from Metallica.
No.
Nice. There's another Lars? Huh, who would have thunk?
Never mind. I'll just stop.
And with that, I actually think I enjoyed this episode more than the first episode of the season. Controversial.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you. No, I'm with you 100%.
This was like the big boom. Here we are. Let's go. We're in it now.
I just think it's the storytelling. Like, it showed that they're not, but it showed that they're not going to waste any time to get to this part. I was worried going in. I'm like, are we going to wait the whole season for him to bathe in the waters, and that would just be terrible. No, I'm sorry. That would have been bad.
Telling.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Be like so waiting, you know, three episodes to break out of prison or something.
Hey. Hey.
I liked Andor, but I'm just saying they could have done that in one episode. That's all.
I have to say the production quality, the sets, the lighting, the costumes, everything was spot on. The CG, I didn't notice it. Like, it didn't take me out of it. I didn't come out of this episode at once. Everything was spot on. Movie quality, like, really? Started at Tatooine. Yeah. I'm happy. Little joking, you know, at the beginning, just, you know, cut the tension. That's what, you know, what it is, a little, you know, and then get to business, and then we're there. We're in the mines. Mythosaur. Let's go. Like, you know, Bo is on board. You know, they're united. They got a cause. They got a, you know,
a child to look after. Parental responsibilities.
Oh, I mean, house, mortgage. You know, car payments. Yeah, friggin' Din's got to pay off that new spaceship. You know, he's got to get to work.
That's his midlife crisis car. Leave him alone.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they need to get a populace so they can tax them and, you know, and drain the treasury dry. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the speaking of like not being taken out of it or anything like that, the Mythosaur looked really freaking good. Yes. Like, I just paused my screen to look at it again.
While you hear his eyes.
Yeah, I'm just. Like, it looks like you're underwater and you're seeing this thing. There's nothing, you know, you could go back, nothing against the Phantom Menace. It's one of my favorites. But, like, some of the fish underwater, you know, you could just tell it was very cartoonish, you know, for the time. I mean, for the time that they made that, it was great.
Oh, yeah, for the time.
Look how far it's come. Yeah. Like, this is, like, I'm just staring at its eye, staring at me. And it's creeping me out. But it's just so well done. This, you know, I know, Lito, you had your qualms and all that about the first episode and stuff, but I think that this, like, this just built on that first, like, that was the foundation. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I would have liked to see a part one, part two.
Bookend, I think, to the season. Right.
Yeah.
And, I think the first one, you know, set the table, and this one kind of, like, delivered, you know, the meal, and we're good, and I'm good, and I'm eating it, and I love it. And I want more of it.
You want some dessert, so.
Yeah, dessert would be nice. You know?
Right.
And I'm definitely wanting more. And I want to see what's going on next, because I have no idea. No one, you know, we don't know. So it's cool.
Speaking of dessert, I genuinely, that was a terrible way to start this sentence. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm awful. I genuinely thought Din Djarin was going to get, like, butt naked to get.
I knew you were.
Like, I was fully expecting. He started taking things off, and I was like.
I wanted to ask you that question when we started talking about that part. I was going to be like, so Charlie, were you expecting some more, you know, declothing?
I feel cheated. I'll be honest. I feel cheated. No, not really.
Speaking of dessert, Din should have been naked.
Yeah.
That was great. No. That's so good. Ding. I'm not cutting it.
The meal is served.
Look, when it gets to like midnight, I get a bit unhinged, so I'm really sorry. Maybe it's time we
Oh god. Yeah, no, I think we're good to wrap up anyways though. This is a hell of an episode.
It was.
I just want to say, when Star Wars gives us good content, it gives us great episodes, podcast episodes. So they did their job this week, and it should, you know. So it starts with them, you know.
Yes.
They delivered.
That they did.
All right. Well, this was our, what are we calling this? This is the Way Wednesday. The Minds of Mandalore. Chapter, what is it? What was this? Chapter 18? They're so confusing with this stuff. So we'll see y'all for chapter 19. Thanks for listening, I guess. So, we didn't do the. Yeah. See, now I'm getting. It's not even midnight over here. I'm like, contact us at clonearmyradio@gmail.com or at clonearmyradio at Instagram and Twitter. Charlie?
You, as always, are wonderful, wonderful listeners. Oh, by the way, if you know any friends who also love Star Wars or family members who are watching any of the new stuff right now, recommend the podcast. They love it. Oh my God, they love it so much. You specifically can come and pester me at Running Back to Jakku on Instagram.
Right on.
Very good.
Oh yeah, and a cheap plug. I released another book today.
So. Yes.
Oh my God, how could we forget? Go and read Johnny's book. Go and buy it, unlike Leto has.
I'm buying it right now.
You've heard
I
it here,
I bought it
folks.
Last night, and what?
Yeah, I gotta buy it. This is the third time I've told you I was going to buy it, so I got to do it.
Nice. It is called Brayton Falls, and or you can look up The Hunted, and it's available on Kindle for Amazon. So check it out. Book 3 will be coming in a few months. Yeah.
I can highly recommend it. It's really, 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 like, really good.
It's like
really good.
Thank you, by the way.
That's, yes.
It's very nice. Like crime thriller supernaturally is yes. kind of like, yeah, I'd say that was a genre. I know it's not Star Wars-y, but it's got a little bit of everything, and it's a fun story I'm writing, so. Yeah. You know, if anyone's still listening, I'll mention it next week at the beginning of the episode.
Oh yeah, the beginning. We'll plug it again great. Next time. Yeah.
But until then, may the Schwartz be with you.
May the Schwartz be witches.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Do it,
Admiral Viet.